Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10, Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." You know, this text, when we think about all the times that Paul talks about to the Philippians about rejoicing and contentment, continuously he's talking about those things. I think sometimes we might forget exactly where Paul is penning this letter from. He's not penning it from a house in Ephesus or a house in Corinth or somewhere in Judea. He is penning it from a Roman prison. And yet, the theme of rejoice comes up over and over again. The theme of contentment comes up over and over again as he writes here. I want us to think about the secret to Christian living, of successful Christian living, that Paul sets forth in this particular text. First thing he shows us in verse 11 is that it requires contentment. The ability to be content with what we have. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 and 8, Paul writes to young Timothy and says, "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment." You know, we don't get contentment from it. We accompany contentment with godliness. And that's a place of great gain. He says, "For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." How many of us this evening would be content with simply having our food and covering? You know, I read that verse and Paul says that's what a Christian should want to be content with. That godliness and contentment leads us to this point that if my needs are met, that's enough. Some of you, as I have been to third world countries and we've seen people, that's just about all they had. All they had was some food and sometimes not much of that and some covering. And yet, you know, as I was in Africa and I saw the small children and they danced and they played and they didn't have toys. They played with rocks and trash and things that we would throw away in a heartbeat, wouldn't let our child get anywhere near. But they were having the best time. They were so content. And I looked at their houses and I looked at what they had and they had nothing. But yet they were happy. Can we be happy with just those things? You think about Paul, according to chapter 1 and verses 12 through 17, he's in prison, yet he's content. Paul, in chapter 1 again in verse 21, wanted to die. He said, "You know what, for me to die, that's a good thing. I get to go to be with Christ. That's what I'd like to do. I wish the Lord would let me go ahead and do that." But he said, "But if I have to stay, if the Lord wants me to stay," he said, "that's good for you, and I'm all right with that too. To stay, to go, either way, I'll make the best of what the Lord has in store for me." With salvation in our lives, my friends, little else is needed in this life. That and those things that we need to physically live is all we need. And yet all those things that we think about, the covering and the food, if we look at Matthew 6, those are the things that God says, "I will provide to my children. I will give those things." So, you know, if I give my life to God, I don't even have to worry about those things. He's going to make sure I have those. He's going to provide the opportunities. He's going to open the doors for those things to come into my life. So I don't need to worry about those things. I just need to be content with the blessings of God. You know, it also, as we look at this text in verse 12, see that successful Christian living requires flexibility. Sometimes that's hard. We get set in our ways, don't we? The older we get, the more set we get sometimes, right? I remember working with a man on a preacher's camp, and you couldn't change one part of that preacher's camp. It ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm not saying it's broke. I'm just saying maybe we can do some more to make it better. You know, no flexibility at all. Paul was talking about flexibility when he said, I know what it means to be poor. I can do that, and I can be rich. I can be filled. I can be hungry. There's flexibility to that. He said, I've had abundance and I've suffered need. So Paul had this aspect in his life. You know what I have today, I may not have tomorrow. There's no guarantees in this world. People have lost entire fortunes in less than the time between now and sunrise tomorrow. Houses have burned to the ground with all their possessions in a moment. None of those things are guaranteed. But if my house does burn tonight to the ground and I lose everything that I had in that house, I still haven't lost my salvation. Still haven't lost the blessings in Jesus Christ. I still haven't lost the incredible love that God has given to me to be His Son. Those things cannot be touched. Earthly circumstances matter little, and they change often. Faith maintains a steady course of contentment through all such changes that we face in this life. Then last of all, in verse 13, the verses we all know, that successful Christian living requires spiritual strength. And this is not strength that we give ourselves necessarily. It comes from God. It is a strength that comes from our faith in God. It comes from our faith in His providential care of our lives. I believe God takes care of me. I believe God blessed me by bringing me here to Cary to be with you. For you are such a blessing to me every day. And I thank Him for that. I believe He has providentially taken care of me. And He will continue to do so as long as I give myself to Him. You know, this is strength that empowers one to do all things, Paul says. And what does Paul mean by this? Well, it's not all things that, you know, if I want to go out and be an NFL quarterback, which for the Cowboys I could probably do all right. It would be a step up. I'm not going to say anything about Alabama because Kurt will break down and cry. It's not talking about that if I want to be an NFL quarterback that God's going to make that possible. He's not talking about those kind of things at all. Exegetically, we must understand that this in context with 11 and 12, the apostle is insisting in every conceivable circumstance, he finds strength with a vital union with Christ. That vital union with Christ supplies him with strength to deal with all these situations, to be content in all these situations, to know that the things that are happening right here, right now, are nothing compared to what God is going to give me. I can get through these things. Because at the end of my life, whether that's tomorrow or 50 years from now, at the end of my life, I have eternity in heaven. And with that strength, I'll face anything. I'll go up against persecution. I'll go up against those that would want to harm me in terrible ways. I'll stand where no one else would want to stand. That's the strength Paul's talking about. To do all things for God. The faith, hope, assurance, and strength found in Jesus Christ makes for strong people who can endure the worst of situations. And the greater the faith, the greater the strength, and the more Christ can and will do through us. God's Word, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, can give us everything we need for every good work in our lives. We can do all things for Him. You know, this does not make Paul, when he writes these things, superhuman or some super Christian who is able to draw on a strength that we cannot. This strength that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4, 13, this contentment, this joy that he talks about throughout the book, that's something that is available to you and to me right now, today. Paul knew the secret, but here's the thing. It's not a secret at all. A secret means that nobody knows about it, right? It's not a secret. It is information that has been given to all of mankind if only they want it. If only they'll put it in their minds and let God write it on their hearts. God's Word has revealed this strength to all mankind. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he goes on to say, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Isn't it a blessing to be a Christian? To be a child of God, to have these precious promises, these precious assurances that give us the strength to take on this life and all the pain, the difficulty that comes with it. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, I want to tell you about the one who enables you to be that. One that chapter 2, as Brian read a few moments ago, the one who was in heaven, God. And yet he did not say, I'm not leaving this place. This is a pretty nice place. You know, I'm living my whole life to get there. I want to get there. And probably if I get there, I will not want to leave. I'll probably be cranky like Samuel was, right? When Saul called him back, what do you want? I don't want to be back here. I don't know that I'd want to leave. I certainly don't know that I'd want to lay aside godly attributes. But he loved you so much that he didn't see heaven or even being God as something for him to hang on to. But he let it go. And he came and left the wonders and the glories and the perfection of heaven to live and to suffer and to die on this earth. What a Savior. What a Lord that He does that for me. Respond to Him tonight. Respond to His love and to His actions. To make that sacrifice that He made when He came to this earth and died the death of the cross. Shed that blood. Make that sacrifice real in your life. Make it applied to your life that you might know forgiveness and salvation. Obey the gospel tonight. If you're a child of God and you haven't been content and you always want more, you're kind of like maybe the children of Israel were, be content with what God has given. For just being a child of God is all you really need. But He gives you so much more. Give yourselves to contentment and to rejoicing in the fact that I am saved. This evening, if we can assist you in any way in being more faithful to God, to obeying the gospel, we want to do that. Won't you come as together we stand as we sing.